All right, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you so that our joy might be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. Can I get a witness on that? God is light, and in Him there is no darkness, not any at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. Lord, we come before You this morning talking about living in the light, talking about living new lives, transformed lives. Lord, I pray by Your Spirit, Lord, that You would bind every distraction this morning. Lord, that You would help us to understand. Lord, I see so many that are not here today. Lord, we would come against the distractions that would keep us away, Lord, from displaying our love for You and of following, Lord, following the path of Your truth. And we give You praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen, 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 amen. This morning was a bit of a challenge, partly because of the parking thing, because I want to get here early and see whether or not there's going to be any drama. So I'm kind of doing my thing. I get up pretty early, and I'm looking at my glasses, and they're bent. And so I'm kind of trying to straighten them, and the lens pops out. And I'm thinking, oh, that's okay. Okay, I got all these little fine jeweler's tools and stuff. And so I'm going to fix them. And, I got the screwdriver out, you know, and I'm kind of doing it. Anybody want to take a guess what my problem was? I couldn't see. You know, and this screw is like microscopic, you know. And I'm going, oh, man, and I'm just trying to do it by feel. You know, I'm kind of getting it pop out. And the problem is, I've been wearing glasses for 20 years, all day, every day. And so I walk it out, and everything is just kind of fuzzy. You know what I'm talking? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But, if you know, it's kind of like trying to read without my glasses. Everything's funny. Fuzzy, if I try and read when it's dark, it's all a little bit fuzzy too. You know, and John is talking about living in the darkness. And you see that difference? Yeah, you get in the darkness, and all of a sudden, everything just can't. We have it darker out there, so some kind of drama happens or something like that, you won't be distracted, right? And so when I'm in the light, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about, seeing my lips move, seeing all that stuff, void spit when it comes flying. But when I'm in the darkness, you might get hit with something that you're not expecting. John is talking about living in the light. John talks about darkness, and he talks about light. And what John is addressing in this letter, which is written about 60 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. 60 years. That's a while. Harry Truman was president 60 years ago. The Korean War was going on 60 years ago. And what had happened is the church had grown up and things were going along good. You had Romans attacking and killing Christians. You know, there's all kinds of challenges that were happening. But something that happened inside the church, and there was this division among believers. And there was this sect that split off from the church, and 100 years later they became known as the Gnostics. And I don't want to get into a whole big discussion on Gnosticism, but one of the key things that they believed in was dualism. What is dualism? Let me tell you what dualism is. What they believed is that the human being, that we are split into two components. That we have a physical component, which is evil. And we have a spiritual component, which is pure and holy and wonderful. Okay? Now, what they did with that knowledge was say, you can do anything in your body, and it's not going to affect what you do with your spirit. So everything goes. Now, if you're trying to build a church, that's an interesting message. Anything goes. Because if you struggle, say, with alcoholism, and you come to this church and the Bible says don't become drunk with wine. You say, that might be a little bit of a challenge for me. But if there was a church that was out there saying, hey, Angelo, don't worry about that booze. You can do whatever you want in your body because it's not going to touch your spirit. Or let's just say that you had a problem with, say, pornography or sexual addiction. No problem. Because what you do in your body doesn't affect your spirit. Or maybe gluttony. Oh, I love going to Hometown Buffet. Oh, yeah. No problem. Because what you do in your, you get the feeling, you get the message. And so what's happening is these guys are bringing that message to the church, saying all this stuff the Apostle John is talking about, all this stuff that Jesus said, they got it wrong. You don't have to worry about that stuff. Now, John is not happy with these guys. In fact, he calls them antichrists. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that word, antichrist? I mean, it's big, like the Omen, you know? I mean, just when I was a kid, you know, we watched the Omen movies, 3 or 4 or 5 of them, I don't remember how many. It was all about the antichrist and 666 and all that stuff. Do you realize that antichrist is in the Bible 5 times? 4 times in this gospel, 5 chapters, and 1 time in 2 John. That is it. All the publicity, all the promotion, everything for Antichrist that we see in our culture comes only from 1 John and 2 John. And that is how John referenced these guys that were sowing lies to the church. Anything goes. It's okay. God doesn't care. They don't even believe that Jesus came as a man. He only came as a spirit. What does this mean for us today? Because this is 2,000 years ago. Well, 100 years later, this became known as Gnosticism. It comes from the word gnosis, which means knowledge. And what these guys had was this superior knowledge, like a lightning bolt that would come from heaven and would endue them with this great knowledge, that they would understand truth and all this stuff. And what it fostered was an elitism in these Gnostics. Oh, really? You know, you guys still believe in all that stuff? I mean, that's so old school. That's for people that are unenlightened. Those are people that are really just pretty dumb. And we have that elitism today. You know, the people that would come along and say, oh, you really believe, you know, we are so beyond the Bible and the stuff that's in there. That's archaic. Have you heard that before? See, we got the same challenge. And so as we talk about living in the light and we talk about finding truth, that there is a truth that is available to us that might not be trendy, that might not be cutting edge, but will set the course for your life. And we'll get you home. Amen?
Amen?
Oftentimes when you hear the lie just sounds too good to be true. When you get to truth, the truth is real. Truth is truth. And truth requires a response. Often the lie will tell you, you don't have to change. You don't have to do anything. You are fine just the way you are. But when you come to the gospel, the Lord is saying, everybody's got to change. Amen? You're sitting in this room today. I guarantee you there is something. There is something that God is talking to you about right now that he wants you to change. Because truth and truth is truth. And truth requires a response. When we were singing that song and everybody began to just kind of clap. It's just kind of like, I got this thing. Love you so much, Jesus. And there's this, just kind of this response of applause. Did you feel it? You were clapping, right? And I said, we're going to sing it again because we want to respond. When you come to know the truth of God, the title of today's message is called Finding Truth. You find truth, it will require a response. Are we okay? All right. Point number one, God wants you to know truth. God does not want you to stay in darkness. And these are some pictures that John is painting for us, and we're going to move through these pictures because he uses that a lot. He starts off at the beginning, John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this is what we are talking to you about. We are talking to you about the word of life. And the truth is always the truth. Amen? The truth does not change. John says, hey, we're going back to the beginning. This is not something new. This is, goes all the way back, and it speaks to me of authenticity. That we have got the real deal stuff, and it's always been the real deal stuff. Right. Man, it's not something that was transformed, not something that came up last week. It's not some new fashion trend. God is God all the way back to the beginning. Amazingly, that's how he starts the Gospel of John. He says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And here we have this Word, and it ties into this battle on Gnosticism and this knowledge, and he uses that Word, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we are talking about bedrock. Bible talks about a foundation. And when you get to the foundation of Jesus Christ, you can build your life on him. And when the storm comes, because it's coming, amen? Anybody in a storm right now? When that storm comes, you will be able to stand firm. Because why? Because you're dealing with reality. It's the genuine article, the real deal. And when you find truth, you're going to have to make a response. We see that John is painting these pictures for us. And he uses the Word. And he's meandering and he's taking these things so that he can attack this lie that comes from Gnosticism. But he bakes it down for us. We get to verse 14 of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He says, the Word became flesh. That Jesus always was with the Father. That everything was created by him and through him. Are you tracking with me? And God the Son made this incredible sacrifice to give up everything that he knew to be born of a virgin, to have to get colds, to stub his toe, to have to learn how to walk and learn how to talk and learn how to do all this stuff. It says that he made it, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You go back to John, 1 John chapter 1. He said, we saw him. We talked with him. We touched him. We experienced him, and we are sharing that with you. He said, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John could have said, man, he made a visit and we ate, we hung with, I drank out of the same pitcher as him. You should have seen what we saw him do. That's what he wrote the gospel for. He said, this is all written so that you can believe, having believed, that you might have life. Amen?
Amen.
He said, there is so much that he did that all the books in the world couldn't contain it. He says, that's what I want to try and tell you about. And that's what I'm excited to tell you about today. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. John gives us an invitation. He says, the life appeared, we've seen it, testified to it, we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that... See, John has got a purpose in that he's writing to this church. I am writing to you what I have experienced so that you can have fellowship, you can hang with us, you can join us, you can be with us. And our fellowship, our community, our relationship, we hang with God. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. John is saying, I am giving you an invitation. I have discovered a truth that has transformed my life. I have lived this way for the past 60 years. I think Johnny and Jean are the only ones here that can make a statement like that. I have walked with the Lord 20 years. We're talking about it with Lisa this week. Met the Lord 20 years ago. Transformed my life. Why? Because I was lost and became found. I was in darkness and I moved to light. And because of that, I left my job, left my life, went to school, met my wife, went to Mexico, went to Sacramento, came here. My life is transformed. Let me tell you about the Jesus that I have met, because I guarantee you He'll transform your life.
Amen.
Amen? He will reveal truth to you. And when you get a grip of that truth, it requires a response. It requires a lifetime of change. Everybody has to change. Come to understand the truth of Christ, it'll change your life. He says, the community that we had with Jesus as He walked the earth continues on. I make an invitation to you, 60 years after His crucifixion and resurrection, to enter into an ongoing community with Christ. And that is why this church is here. Many of you came because of the food program. Many of the folks that are on the edge of the church and in the food program, they're not here today. But we make an invitation for those that are in darkness so that when they see light, they would be transformed and attracted to it.
Amen.
That's truth. There's lies all around. Lie tells you you're fine just the way you are. You're going to have communion with God, and you're going to have fellowship with God. You're going to have to put away the lie and grab onto the truth.
That's right.
And there's many that just don't see it as being that important. Yeah, I'll get around to it. I remember my friend Nick Beeson, Catholic guy, I'm radically saved, you know, it's 10 years after I'm out of college, I'm talking about the Lord, and he says, look, Bob, isn't the idea to do everything that you can in life, and then as you are dying, turn your life over to the Lord and then make heaven? I'm like, no, you know, that is not it at all. But some people just don't get the immediacy. You know, I think in this neighborhood, I think of birthday parties, you know. And, I mean, we've been here 14 years, right? And I remember getting invitations to birthday parties, you know. And, oh, it's going to be from 2 to 6, you know. So, hey, okay, we're going to go to this birthday party. It's 2 o'clock, you know. And here's this kid, partially dressed, you know, a little 4-year-old, 5-year-old kid, answers the door. It's like, where's your mom? Oh, she's out shopping. Isn't there a party starting right now? It's like, yeah, she's getting the food for it right now. And so it's kind of like, you know, especially the Latinos in this. I mean, I'm not trying to throw darts or rocks or anybody here today. But I was like, I got an invitation recently. It's 2 to 6. I go, so that means I show up about 4? And she goes, yeah, about 4. It's like, hey, it's just like, hey, we'll get there when we get there. Kingdom of God is not like that. Truth of God is not like that. Truth of God is for today. It is a real deal day when you, real deal today. And when you understand the truth of Christ, it will require a response. Amen? All right, let's keep going. John tells us about two options. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, he's light. You can walk in the darkness. You can't see me so good. We lie and do not live by the truth. Two options. You can walk in the darkness. You know people who walk in the darkness? You know what? I used to walk in dark places. And you know what? I used to feel completely comfortable in those dark places. Anybody know what I'm talking about? John starts off with a description of God. There's no darkness in him at all. He is absolutely pure, absolutely holy, absolutely righteous. And as you draw near to him, you are going to have to be like him. You will have to be light. And that is why when you grab onto the truth that God is light, it's going to require a response from you. You will have to change. These guys saying you can walk with God and you can still be in darkness. He's saying you can walk with God in sin. That's a lie. That's a lie. The closer you draw near to God, the more you will have to change. You cannot walk with God and walk in sin. The truth requires a response, and this lie will tell you you don't have to change. You know, there's a lie that goes around to us today. We call it tolerance. We need to be tolerant of the people around us. That we need to be tolerant of their actions. And they base that lie on the fact that there is no truth. That truth is relative. Truth is based on belief. If I believe it, it's true for me. You've heard somebody say that before? To me, and I, when people say that, I say, well, you know what? It really doesn't matter what you believe. And they immediately look like, I go, it doesn't really matter what I believe. They, at that point, are confused. I said, let's find out what God says, irregardless of what you believe or I believe, and let's do what God says. Can we do that? Now they're a little bit worried, because when you find the truth is going to require a response, right. And you will have to be changed. God says, these people, they're lying to you, and what's more, they're lying to themselves. Don't buy the lie. Truth has benefits. How many of you, well, I know the answer. I look out there and I see how many of you are radically transformed by the truth of God. Amen? You know who is radically transformed? It's not in my notes. That lady right there, sitting in pink, or fuchsia, or whatever that is. Claudia, two Wednesdays ago, she had this application in. And this company out of Texas, you had an interview, and they prayed. They said, you know, I haven't heard back from these people. I think it's a real deal thing. They prayed on Wednesday night. And when did you get that job? You're right. But when you prayed on Wednesday, you got it like the next day or the day after, right? So it was like the very next day. Said, oh, yeah, we got this job for you. And they gave her a company car, right? A company car to use at work. They were talking about giving you a company car to use all the time. Is that awesome to tie into the truth of God? Amen. And I know that many of you have been transformed in your life because of the truth of God. Amen. He says, hey, there is a benefit. He says, you come and you hang with the Lord. You come and you modify your existence. You become different in your values and your choices. You be transformed. God says you come out of the darkness. We talk about coming out of sin. And sin is basically selfish. I want what I want when I want it. Does that sound like sin to you? Like, yeah, man, it's all about me. And you can get partners in sin, partners in crime. It's like, I'll make you happy. You say, you do what makes me happy, I'll do what makes you happy. Right? It's a trade-off. Why? Because we're given from empty buckets or empty vessels, and we're just empty. We say, give me a little bit and I'll try and give you some back. But the Lord says, I'll fill you up to overflowing. And you can move out of this, you do me and I'll do you, to I will overflow with springs of living water. And I will be a source of fullness to all the people around me. That's what's happening with Claudia. I love that. You go, girl. There you go. As this is happening, John tells us that we will be purified from our sin. Only God can purify you from sin. Let me describe how this works. When you asked, and I'm looking around, I see most of you have been here for a while, and most of you have asked Christ to come into your life. When you come and you ask Jesus to come into your life, you are transformed in a moment. You are declared pure and righteous. It is called justification. And it is just as if you never sinned.
That's right.
It is when O.J. Simpson, the judge, said, not guilty. He walked out of that court a free man. And there's a lot of people that don't think he was innocent when he was declared innocent. But God, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, can say to Alex, you, I declare you pure and clean and holy. When he did that to me, I was pretty still messed up. I mean, it took me a year to learn how to live. I've been loaded for 15 years straight. You know, I was a 30-year-old man with a 15-year-old brain. And it took me a year to learn how to live straight. We call that process sanctification, where the Holy Spirit would guide you into truth. And remember, truth requires a response. The Holy Spirit showed me, oh, you got to change this. You got to change. And he was patient and relentless. I mean, I've heard people say, well, God's just waiting on me. You know, that's not something that God really enjoys doing. You know, it says God just turns people over to their sin. You know, you can just find out that penalty that is waiting for you. But God guided and directed me each day into a transformation process. That is what we call being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That at the more time you spend with God, the more light you begin to look. The less sin you have, the more pure you are. Does that make sense? Last year we bought this fine car, the Karmann Ghia. And it had a blown cylinder. It had no floor. Well, it had floor, but it was all rusted. Windshield was gone. Interior was gone. Seats were shot. And see all that Bondo. Those Bondo that Leanne did. It was all dented up. It was a project. And maybe, perhaps, you feel like, man, that's what I look like when I come to the Lord. And what the Lord will do, and this is after we had done work to it, okay? And there is this transformation process that the Lord would do in you in the same way that we've done with this car. Now, last week, Joe painted that car. And it still needs work, a lot of stuff that's done to it. But you can see there is quite a big bit of difference that's going on with that car. And that is the difference that will go on with you the more time you spend with God. And the closer you come to him, the better you look. Now, the question to me is, do you want to look like this or do you want to look like that? Because God wants you looking good. And when you come into an understanding of that truth, it will require a response. Amen? Okay. Last thing. We're almost done. Dealing with darkness. Darkness, everybody's got some. You're here today, you got some. All them people that didn't make it here today, they got some. Here's a little secret. All God's children, all the devil's children, everybody's got some darkness. That means you, just in case you thought I missed you. Okay, 1 John 1:8. If you're sitting there going, I'm without sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in you. So you can deceive, you can lie to yourself, you can tell yourself you got nothing, and guess what? You don't have to have a response. I got no problem. Everything is fine with me. Problem is, God doesn't say that. John is talking again about this misconception of sin that comes from this dualism. I can do anything I want in my body, and it's not going to affect my relationship with God. Wrong. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit. As long as you are here, you got sin. Walking around this planet, you can have your own, or you can have some just rub off on you. But you're going to get some. Everybody's down here has a sin issue. That's a truth that is going to require a response from you. Now, wait a minute, you're thinking. Hey, wait a minute. He just said that if I walk in the light as he is in the light, that I can have fellowship with God. And if I'm walking in the light, then I don't have a sin issue. Well, we could argue that all day long, but just let me go to verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. Now, you don't want to make God a liar, do you?
No.
I got to think that, you know, on your to-do list, yes, number 3, make God a liar today. Probably not going to go well for you. You know, your beautification process, your sanctification process in the Lord, not going to really be advanced today when you are telling God he's lying. Can I get a witness on that? Are you tracking with me? Are we okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're good? John says, God says you got sin. That's truth. This makes walking in the light a challenge. Because we've all got some darkness. Here's a question you might be thinking. How much darkness is okay? Right? Because we're trying to walk in the light. John says we can walk in the light. John also says you've got some darkness on you. So how much darkness can I have? You know, and there's some people that will sit, try and sit just right on the edge. Is that working? Dark, light? Working to me, I can see the light. Don't live like that. You want to know how much darkness you can have? God will let you know. What? Let's take a look. Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to guide us into truth. Amen? Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to convict everybody of sin, convict of darkness. Right now, God has been talking to you for the last, 30 minutes. God has been saying, darkness, darkness, darkness. God has been letting you know what you have to respond to. God has been letting you know that next issue, because everybody in here has a next issue to deal with. Why? Because it's this, I got to fix the headlights on the Ghia. Why? It's the next issue. You know what's after that? The radio. After that is about 1,000 more things. So what's God working with you on you in today? What issue has come to the top? Because I guarantee you, everybody in this room, everybody outside of this room, has got the number one issue that God wants you to deal with. That's truth. Truth requires a response. So, at the end, we're going to pray. And I should not be up here alone. In fact, if you're seated back there, you should be alone, because I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to every person in this room. And if he's not, you better watch out, because he disciplines those he loves. He guides those he loves. And if he's not talking to you, then somebody else is doing your guiding. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You can move into the light. We're going to talk about how you make the transformation. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He'll purify you from all unrighteousness. He'll take that darkness and cleanse it away. He will make you as beautiful as that newly painted Carmen Ghia. And even more beautiful still. Sin, everybody has some. The question is not if you have some, but what does the Lord want you to work on today? Truth. It requires a response. If you're moving where God wants you to move and you've got all this drama in your life and all these issues, you're fine. God will get to what you need to get to in God's timing. The issue is, what are you going to do with the next issue today? The key is, you have to understand that you have an issue. You have to understand that you have a problem. That's what confession is. Confession is agreeing with God against you. God, I have messed up. God, I do have a problem. God, I cannot fix this on my own. Am I tracking with you on that? Are you tracking with me on that? God says, if you want to move into the light, there's this aspect of your life, there's this aspect of darkness that I want you to leave behind so that you can get closer and even more closer to me. And the issue is where we start talking about this. Well, I don't know. Is that really sin? You know what God says to that? I only deal with sin. You don't want to call that sin? We'll deal with that later on Judgment Day. You can deal with me now, or you can deal with me later. You want to have a right relationship with me? Let's deal with this. Because Jesus only paid for sin on the cross. If you got something else that's troubling you and it ain't sin, you got nothing. If we confess our sins, when the Holy Spirit begins to point an arrow in your life and say, and that's sin, you go, you're right, God, that is sin. That's confession. Repentance is right there with it. When you turn away from that, say, Lord, help me with that. Help me get rid of this stuff in my life. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and will purify us. He will cleanse you. He will wash that aspect out of your life. If you agree with God, you can get your problems fixed. If you can find truth, you can get your problems fixed. You realize that you have a problem. Reparation is available. So the question today is not if you have a problem. It's what's your problem? What's your issue? How you doing? Moving in the light? Or moving in the darkness? Because right now, the Holy Spirit is telling you where you're at. In fact, He's been telling you for like the last 40 minutes. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? You ignore it? Pretend like you don't hear Him? Redefine that? Oh, that's not really sin. You're going to reject it? No, God, you're lying. Or you can say, oh, God, I can't deal with this on my own. And He says, right answer. Lisa, you want to come up? Right answer. You know, I spent 10 minutes trying to fix my glasses today. I finally said, there is no hope. And it was, I don't know, 6 o'clock. And I woke up Joe. He wasn't all that pleased by that, by the way. But I said, Joe, come here. I need your help right now. Come on, right now. And I got the screw there, and I got my lens there, and I got my screwdriver there. I go, Joe, I can't see it. I need you to fix this for me. And you know, it took him about 10 minutes. It took him so long that I got over to the computer and continued on my notes, trying to see through my fuzzy situation. But Joe was behind me working diligently. He's going, man, the corner keeps popping out. I'm going, stay with it, stay with it. And about 5 minutes later, he says, here you go. I think it's good. That is what we have available in the Lord. There is no way. I would still be sitting there trying to fix. I would probably be preaching with one lens missing today. I was thinking, can I preach with no glasses? I go, I'd be preaching like preaching with no notes. I guess I could try it. But it's better to get help. And this morning, the Lord is here. He says, don't buy the lie. You need help. I know you need help. I'll help you. But you got to ask. You got to realize you have a problem. You come to me and you say, Lord, I got this problem. He goes, I've been telling you about it for some of you for months. Today's the day. You can say, I can't fix this on my own. I got to get some help. You're here this morning. The Lord is speaking to you. I trust Well, I guess realistically, there are some of you that are not tuned in to the voice of the Lord. So distant that perhaps you have not heard from Him this morning. But I'm talking to those of you, and He is saying, it's this. And you know it's this, and you've been dealing with this for a while, or trying to avoid this, or trying to call it something else. And this morning the Lord is just saying, it's sin. Flat out sin. You do not have the skill set to deal with on your own. You need me to come in. You need me to fix this for you. But for me to come in, you got to give me permission. How you give God permission is through confession. You to say this morning, Lord, I can't fix it. I've been trying. I know you've been wanting me to fix it. So this morning, I'm going to take this thing. I mean, you might be an adulterous affair. You might have an issue with what you eat. I mean, it can be big, it can be small. It's not the magnitude or the heinousness of the sin that is important. What is important is it's the next one. It is the one that God wants you to deal with right now. That's truth. Truth requires a response, requires a response, requires a response, requires a response, requires a response,